Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church with Sister AJ? Well, she's already in studio. We are set to go. But before we do, you know the routine. You know the deal around here. You know what we need to do, and that is a few announcements. First and foremost, a prayer request has come in for a pastor. The pastor's name is Sarah Ortiz, a female pastor down in Queens, New York, Long Island City, New York. That's another part of Queens. Her name is Sarah Ortiz, and they found some cancerous growths in her uterus, so she is requesting prayer because next week she is going in for surgery. She's going to have a hysterectomy. So let us pray for Pastor Sarah Ortiz, who has a wonderful little church there in Long Island City, Queens, where she teaches and preaches and feeds the poor and clothes the naked. She has a very unique ministry. It's a Methodist church, but she services the community and has been doing so for a long time. And Sarah, it happens to be a childhood friend of my wife. And so she got the bad news today that it's the growth is cancerous, and they're going to have to go in and do a hysterectomy, and it's going to be, you know, 2 months, 3 months before she's back on her feet. So not only do we need to pray for the surgery, but also we need to pray that while she's away, the congregation and the community will continue to be served. So that's number one. Number two, if you're in need of prayer, send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. And we promise to keep all your prayer requests confidential. Now, like in Sister Sarah's case, Pastor Sarah's case, she has asked that we mentioned what her issue is to the listeners. And so if you tell us to share, then we'll share what your situation is and have the people pray for you. But if you send us an email and you tell us, keep it quiet, then we just keep your prayer request quiet, and we just pray for you and pray that God would do the impossible on your behalf. Also, my brothers and sisters, Sister Marie and I were in studio yesterday, and we had a great time. We had a ball talking about Black Lives Matter, and how this organization is really not concerned with Black lives at all, but is just interested in promoting their communistic agenda. What a show it was. Of course, the audios make the show. Sister Marie, as Sister AJ, they provide great audio. We play the audio for you. The audio represents the experts making their commentary. And then to that audio, we add our commentary. It was a great show. So if you want to know what Black Lives Matters is all about, and if you really want to pull back the covers on this organization and discover how nefarious they are, you need to listen to that show. And listen, Black Lives Matter is coming to a neighborhood near you. Well, it's not here yet, and they're never going to come to my neck of the woods, and they're never going to show up here. Trust me, there's a global leavening going on. And what is not in your neighborhood today will soon be in your neighborhood in the near future. So you need to arm yourselves with truth, knowledge, so that you can, what, stand up to these organizations and say, I'm not drinking your Kool-Aid. So check out the show yesterday. Also, I'm praying, I'm asking you to pray for me. As you can see, I'm constantly coughing. I'm drinking every concoction under the sun. I got people sending me this recipe and having me to drink this thing and having me to drink. The one thing I haven't drunk yet is antifreeze. That's the one thing I haven't drunk yet. But I've been drinking everything. In fact, Sister Marie came back from vacation, and she brought me some bear root, and I'm drinking some of that with lemon, honey, ginger. And as you can see, I'm struggling. So keep me in your prayers. Because my wife tells me, every time I do a show, she says, you know, I can't listen to you. You cough too much. I said, well, then don't listen. She says, but I have to listen because the shows are exciting. So I said, but you can't have it both ways. You're going to have to put up with a little bit of coughing. I know it's an annoyance. It's annoying to me. I can imagine how it's annoying to the listener. But, honey, you can't have it both ways. And, of course, the kids say, Daddy never coughs when he yells. But Daddy doesn't want to be yelling. So, kids, do what you need to do so Daddy doesn't yell. And my daughter, Rachel, brought that up. She says, Daddy never yells when he coughs. Why is that, Mommy? Well, that's one of the great mysteries of daddyhood, why Daddy doesn't cough when he yells. Okay, and then finally, if you're interested in going to a school of ministry and learning how to serve the Lord and serve his people, with great dignity and biblical accuracy, we have a school for you. It's called the International Institute of Biblical Ministerial Studies. This school is free of charge. There's no registration fee. There's no tuition fee. We don't sell you textbooks. You get an outline each and every week. You attend a two-hour class each and every week. That class, you get to attend it when it's convenient for you because all of the classes are recorded and archived pretty much like the shows here that we do. Not everyone listens to the show live. Many of our listeners listen to the show whenever they can. And so that's the way the Bible School operates. If you're interested, send us an email at IIBMS, because the name of the school is the International Institute of Biblical and Ministerial Studies, IIBMS2020@gmail.com. Once you send us the email, you automatically become registered. And there's a brother by the name of Miguel Rivera. He's the registrar. He's the secretary. He wears all the hats. And I thank God for him. He basically runs the school and keeps in contact with the students. And so Brother Miguel will send you an email. And once you get that email, you will know when to start taking your classes, how to take your classes. He'll help you along those lines. Again, email us at iibms2020@gmail.com. Well, without any further ado, let me bring on Sister AJ for this great and much anticipated show. She's been doing a great series on Jesus and Hollywood. We started with Joel Osteen, and now we have worked our way over to this guy by the name of Dallas Jenkins. And so let me bring her on. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I got some sassy kids over here who say, "Mommy, why is it that Daddy never coughs when he screams?" but, you know, other than that, everything's good.
Good, good. Everything here is good. We did have some rain and stuff yesterday and a little bit this morning, so it was dark here this morning, but it's starting to lighten up a little bit now.
Now, that's because of the hurricanes coming your way, correct? You got some tropical storms, some hurricanes?
Well, I haven't looked lately, but I don't think we got any effects from Fred, but who knows what else is out there.
Right.
But I think it might have just been another front that moved through.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to have rain here until Sunday.
Okay.
And that's good in one way because my kids like to go out. And when they go out, they like to spend my money. So since we're not going out, the good part is we're not spending anything. But the bad part is we're all locked up together again, and we're bumping into each other. And so that's no good. So we need a middle ground here. But it's been raining, and it's going to continue to rain. There's been thunderstorms, and now the good thing about this kind of weather is you don't need an air conditioner because it's just too cold. It's too wet, too dreary, too cold. And, of course, I was driving, I think it was Sunday or Monday I was driving through, and I passed a few different creeks, and you can just see there was hardly any water in any of these creeks. You just saw a whole lot of rock. You know, rocks everywhere and very little water. So this is going to fill up the creeks nicely, and we're going to be able to go back fishing and do a few things we weren't able to do because the streams were low.
Okay.
Yeah. But other than that, you know what's been in my craw this whole time since we last left off that's been bothering me? I mean, it's just nagging at me. Is the fact that this guy Dallas Jenkins, this blasphemer, because there's no other term than to call him a blasphemer, that he said that the Jesus of the Bible isn't interesting.
he's not the main character of the show.
Right. I mean, that's been bothering me.
Mm-hmm. Me too. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted everyone to hear what he said about it. I mean, well, what I don't know what the point of making a show like this is if Jesus is the main character.
Right. Absolutely. And all of the chosen people of the Bible, right, every single one mm-hmm. of them could not stop talking about Jesus.
That's right.
The chosen
right.
in the Bible never spoke of themselves. They spoke of what Jesus did for them.
Right.
That's what they
did. Christ and him crucified, that's all that was important.
That's it. That's all they, you know, the guy who was, when Peter and John went to the temple to pray, and they saw that man that was there lame since his birth, 40 years lame, and they said, silver and gold we have not, but in the name of Jesus, arise and walk. I don't
right.
think Jesus was boring to that guy.
Not at all.
You know, so again, you look at all these people in the Bible who just couldn't get enough of Jesus, kept coming back for more. They didn't find Jesus boring. Now, the Jesus that I find boring is Dallas Jenkins' Jesus. I find him boring. I find him crude. He's a bum. He's lazy. My father would have told that Jesus to stop sleeping until 12 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, my daddy would knock on my bedroom door and tell me to get up, and I would look, and it was pitch dark. The only thing you would hear making noise is the rooster. The rooster is starting to crow. It's still dark out. My daddy's knocking on the door telling me we got chores to do.
That's right.
And there's no sleep until 1 o'clock in the afternoon like this Jesus.
Jesus, the one in the Bible, he would be up at that time praying.
Right.
Like in the dark before the rooster crowed, he'd be up praying.
Right. This Jesus is like a teenager who's asking mommy for extra half hour.
5 more minutes.
Yeah, right. I mean, this Jesus was asking the little kids, come back in a half hour. What?
Right, exactly. I mean,
no.
But the whole thing is making Jesus more human and relatable, and I guess, you know, that's the whole point of showing him bleeding and fixing wounds and cuts and stuff. But I guess I'm silly, but I always just thought that since Jesus was God incarnate, that he wouldn't be subject to a lot of the mishaps and accidents and foibles that normal humans would be. But I guess that's just me.
Right. No, that's what I thought. I thought that he would listen. You know, I could be working in my garage, working with some tools or whatever, and I can, you know, hit my finger with the hammer. And the kids know that when that happens, they just start filing out one by one because daddy's about to explode. but listen, our Jesus ain't like that. Our Jesus would not, you know, that's not Jesus. That, you know, he's God. This is crazy. This is crazy.
I want to read something else that bothers me a little bit, and it's a write up that shows up on social media for his study to go along with this, you know, that booklet, What Does It Mean to Be Chosen? But listen to this write-up and the language that it uses, and then tell me what you think. It reads, "The Bible Study Guide is finally here. Designed for group study, This guide encourages a deeper spiritual connection to each episode of The Chosen. Created to facilitate free-form discussion, explore scriptural context that augments your viewing experience and connect with the Creator's vision on how this special project brings you closer to Christ. So that's it.
Yeah.
And the thing that stood out to me, the first thing was the deeper spiritual connection to the episodes of The Chosen. So this isn't about connecting to Jesus as he is portrayed in the Bible. It's about getting people emotionally invested in this show, to become fans of the show. And
right.
Then the other thing I noted was about connecting with the Creator's vision. And when he says Creator, he's not talking about Creator God. He's talking about himself and this show that he created. And it says connected, bring you closer to Christ. But what Christ? As you just talked about, from what we've seen so far, this Christ doesn't match the one in the Bible.
Mm-mm.
So what say you, brother, about this write-up?
Yeah, the writer is telling, people, since people have been dumbed down, they don't get that this guy is, first of all, he's getting them addicted, right, to a false gospel.
Right.
And a gospel that just has spiritual flavoring on it, but it's pretty much like Tyler Perry's The Have and the Have Nots. Right, I mean, that's basically what it is. You take a show about fallen people with a fallen nature, and then you get the audience to come back because now they get invested in what is she doing, what is he doing, right? So you keep coming back,
right.
But you're not. But the problem is that these people are fallen. The purpose of the gospel is to put our gaze, our eyes, on the author and the finisher of our faith. That's who,
right?
Isn't that what the author of Hebrews says? Looking unto whom? The author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. This guy isn't putting your eyes on Jesus. He's putting your eyes on Peter. Or on Mary Magdalene, or on Nicodemus, or, you know, whichever one of these characters you sympathize with. And so, again, it's a false gospel. Why? Because Jesus said, he said, take my yoke. This guy is yoking you to Nicodemus. He's yoking you to Mary Magdalene. He's yoking you to Matthew. No. Jesus said, take my yoke.
And ultimately to himself, because it's his show, right?
Right. Think about it. The guy does every episode, I guess it was in season one. He did 8 episodes in season one.
Right.
7 of the episodes, there were 2 other co-writers with him. 2 other, right?
Yes.
I'm just going on what he said. But episode 3, which he wrote by himself, voila, magically a book appears that he can sell because now he has all the rights to that episode since he's the only writer. Voila, his Jesus junk that he can sell. On that one episode, it's a book about Jesus and the two. Well, if you saw the episode, why do I need the book? Well, because that's what they do. They sell you.
Yes.
They sell you useless
junk. They sell
you.
Yeah, and in a spiritual connection. I thought that language was very interesting, not to Jesus, but to the episodes of the show.
Right, right. You see, again, your connection. Who are you being yoked to? Who is he hitching you to? And that's the problem.
Right.
You know, Mel. I never heard Mel Gibson say, you know, when you watch The Passion, I'm hooking you, or I'm, you know, getting you spiritually connected to my vision. He didn't say
that.
It was called The Passion of the Christ. It was all about Christ. It's all about what Jesus suffered for you and for me. That, I mean, and that's why the, you know, that movie connected with so many people. And that Jesus, which was the biblical Jesus, wasn't even boring at all. That Jesus wasn't boring. And, you know, the whole movie was in Aramaic. I mean, he even pulled that off. Right?
Right. He could portray Jesus in a way where he was dignified and not silly and strong and all those things you would expect from the Messiah. But the Jesuses that are depicted in Joel Osteen's and now this one, boy, I wouldn't follow them anywhere.
Listen, Jesus's Osteen used to appear on the set in a little yellow school bus for children with, you know, those special little buses for kids that have the one-on-one, you know, that's his Jesus used to appear, would show up on set on that bus. That bus would drop him off and pick him up. That's Joel Osteen's Jesus. This Jesus is a hippie bum who won't get up on time, who's just wasting time, fooling around. And on the one hand, he's teaching us how to pray. On the other hand, he's passing gas. Give me a break.
Right. Exactly.
Who can take that Jesus serious? Nobody.
Nobody.
Listen, I took over a church one time. I took over the pastorate of a church where I had to sit a man down from being deacon. And one of the reasons why we had to sit him down from being deacon was because he was a joker. He played too much.
Okay.
He was a prankster. He was always joking, always had a joke, always, you know, and was always into, you know, goofy, childish things. And we just had to say, brother, you don't have the character to be a deacon. You got to be serious. Now, you're good. You're a good man. You're a good, but you know, until you curtail that, you know, until you can curtail that, you can't serve in this office. It's just not dignified.
Right.
You know, it's just not.
Right.
And that was just a deacon. We had to sit him down because he didn't get it. He didn't, he was just always joking. There's a place for jokes but it was with him. It was always. He had to say something funny.
He always clowning.
Yeah. Always. You know, and the same jokes over and okay. We got it the first time you said it. This is the thousandth time. Give it a break. But he kept on. It was the same. You know.
Right.
And I guess the guy didn't have a childhood. And he's reliving his childhood now. But this, you know, this church is not the place for that. You know, it's and people would ask, you know, and say, what's wrong with him? Is he always like that? You know, and no.
No, it was getting to be a bit much even for the people then.
Sure. His wife was always embarrassed because, you know, she knew the people couldn't take it anymore, but he kept on. It's like he didn't have a valve where he could just shut it off. He was always, you know, always clowning. And to the point where, you know, okay, relax. You give it a break. You know, go to sleep. Take a nap. And, you know, you can't serve in ministry playing the role of a clown. And now that doesn't mean I'm a prune face. You know, I'm stoic.
It's
I'm a
time and a place for it.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, you know, you don't play with children. There's things you don't do. You don't clown with children. And you don't clown with your sisters in Christ. You don't do that.
Right.
And you can be at a men's meeting and keep the clowning to an extent. But you can't clown all the time. Can't do it. Can't do it. It's. So, and I don't want a clowning Jesus. I don't. I don't want a buffoon Jesus. Because I've had too many buffoon pastors. I've had buffoon bishops, buffoon apostles, buffoon pastors. I don't need my Jesus to be a buffoon.
Right. Especially when there's nothing in the scripture to indicate that. We just say God has a sense of humor. But even if Jesus did, we don't know what that would have looked like, because what Dallas is doing is putting 21st century humor on top of first century people. And they
Correct.
And their humor would probably look a lot different than ours.
A lot different. Their customs were a lot different. You know, I remember when the first time I went to India, and I've told this story before, uh-huh. and I stayed over a pastor's house. And you know, we went to India to do missions, so you know, we weren't going to spend any money in hotels, so we stayed in his house for the 2 weeks
right.
that I was there on that first trip. And so now when we talk about a house, we talk about the house of a family. Him and his
uh-huh.
two brothers lived in the same house with the three wives and their children. Right? So and their mother, the mother of the three sons, lived in the house. The father had already passed. So the first night I'm there, they're introducing me to everyone, and they told me, now there's a niece that lives in this house that you will not see her in this trip.
Uh-huh.
So I said, I didn't ask any questions, but then later on when I was alone with my pastor friend, I said to him, now you said something. Why? Well, because she's engaged to be married. And while
okay.
you're at the house, while you stay with us, it would be a breach of her betrothal to be mingling with an outside guest when she is engaged. Now,
okay.
when you come back the next year, she will already be married, and then you'll meet her. But until then,
okay.
she will remain in her room while you are out here, and when you go into the bedroom, she will come out. I said,
okay.
Oh, that's okay. So they have very strict, you know, marriage regulations.
Okay.
And it's just the custom. Now, you know, in New York City, that you can see everybody. Nobody cares if you're engaged or, you know, that doesn't matter. Not
right.
in our culture. But in their culture, it's an affront to the young man and to his family that she is mingling with a foreigner. She's mingling with an outsider. When she's
right.
engaged, you know, you got to keep appearances. You got to maintain that distance. So no
exactly.
one is ever accused of any impropriety. See, so the same way we have our customs today, they had their customs in Jesus' day. Like you mentioned, Jesus and women. You know, this thing, you know, Jensen, this guy Dallas Jenkins and this other guy, Joel Osteen, they have Jesus and women just hanging out. Wait a minute. It wasn't like that. Not to that extent. That's not the way things were back then. There's some distance between the sexes, right?
They're making it seem as though Jesus just completely disregarded all customs and courtesies and traditions back then, but he didn't.
He didn't. He did not. And so, again, that's why when you watch And, of course, he tells you what he's doing. I'm trying to make Jesus hip. I'm trying to make Jesus relatable. I'm trying to make Jesus likable, because the Jesus in the Bible is not likable. He's not relatable, and he's not hip. He's not.
And the only way to make Jesus more like us, more human. That's the difference between the Jesus of the Bible and the Jesus of the world. In the world, Jesus is more human. Those are the characteristics that are highlighted.
Right. And if I was interviewing him, I would press him and say, well, what are you saying? Jesus was an alien? What are you saying? I mean, what are you saying Jesus was not human? Right. What do you mean we need to make him more human? What are you talking about? So, again, you know, he means, in other words, what he's trying to say is more hip. You know, it's like Rick Warren said, you know, we need to get these seeker-friendly churches, right? Let's lower the standards so that everybody can feel comfortable. That's basically what he's saying. Let's just lower the standards.
You're right.
You know, and this way, and people will feel comfortable with this Jesus, and that's that.
Exactly.
So, yeah. But, this thing, the three-minute audio that you had me play last week where he said that, you know, this is not about Jesus, this series is not about Jesus, because, you know, if you read the Bible, Jesus' story arc isn't interesting, and that just bothered me for the whole week. I was like, I would love to get to talk to this guy on a radio show.
Right. He would probably cut you off, hang up on you or something.
Right.
Because he gets very defensive about people and critiquing this show.
And that tells you that he was raised as a spoiled brat, that all his life, mommy and daddy let him have his way. That's what that tells me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That he got his way. Every toy he saw at Toys R Us, he got. Because if he didn't, he would throw himself on the ground and start wailing and crying. And, you know, and that's why he has a toy making Jesus. Because, you know, he got everything he ever wanted.
Right. Or getting his way with having Peter and all the fishermen making them Sabbath breakers and hard drinking gamblers with their own fight club.
Listen, it's insulting to call Peter a snitch. A snitch?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, that's what he's... Okay, we know Peter had his moral failings. We know he had his weaknesses, but they're laid out for us in the Bible. But to add that snitch,
working with the Romans?
Right. No, this is just bizarre. Bizarre.
Right. Because he wasn't snitching to the Pharisees. He was snitching to the Romans. That's who his deal was with.
Right. Right. And, you know, so it's just a horrible series. My wife told me that one of her friends was talking about The Chosen, and my wife says, I know what you're going to become. You're going to become a Debbie Downer, because every time she comes to you with something, you always give her the thumbs down. And I said, well,
right.
I mean, I didn't know anything about the series until recently, because, listen, there's so many heresies out there. Who knows every heresy?
Right.
I only know
about this
heresy because you brought it up. I you know, if you said to me, do you know who Dallas Jenkins is? Nope. Never heard of him. Never heard of the guy.
Right.
The Chosen. Right. Have you seen? Never. What is that, The Chosen? What is that? You would have to explain to me what it was, because I wouldn't know. And that's how that's why there's a tsunami. There's such a tidal wave of error just overwhelming the church, because you have all of these different kinds of false teachers putting out product that we can't keep up with.
Right. It's coming from all angles, whether it be the preaching from the preachers, the bishops, or whoever.
Right.
It's coming in through the music, particularly since the church is so into being more into entertaining now. And then
right.
you've got these TV shows. We talked about all the different streams that Satan is using to leaven the church.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely. So no, and then of course you have lazy pastors who don't want to do the midweek service Bible study, so they'll get this, they'll stream it. And wasn't that a blessing, my brothers and sisters? Aren't you happy today? Didn't you learn something about Jesus?
Or these small group Bible study leaders who have a lot of leeway to come up with their own things to study, is coming in that way too, where they just somebody
right.
sees this program and they think it's wonderful. They buy the study material and they want to share it in a class format with the small group. So it gets in the children, you know, the children's groups as well. So it gets in all those kinds of ways, and we have to be vigilant for ourselves and also for our families and other people we may know who can get caught up in this because, as you say, lazy pastors or pastors that maybe put too much trust in their lay leaders, and the lay leaders are bringing this stuff in. So it's
right.
just coming from all angles, like you said, and which is one of the reasons why I wanted to share this, because it is something that's recent that has become very popular in the last year or so, especially during the lockdown, when you know
right.
that's when it really exploded.
Because right,
it's
right,
an internet-based
right.
show; it's not on TV.
And then to partner, because the Bible says, "Be ye not yoked with unbelievers,"
mm-hmm.
because we, you know, think about it. The first name that Christians were ever called in the Bible was the believers. Well, who are the
right.
believers? The believers are the ones who believe in the Bible from cover to cover. Those are the believers. And so the Bible says, be ye believers, not unequally yoked with what? With unbelievers. So here this guy who claims to be an evangelical teaming up with whom? The Mormons.
Right.
That's,
and he's
no,
got a Catholic Jew on his consulting team for the show.
Right. Right. And a rubber stamping evangelical he's got on his team.
Right. Right. Right.
So, you know, yeah. Advising him? Can you imagine asking the Jew, does Jehovah pass gas? Does I mean, that's what you would have to ask the Jew. Listen, the Jews don't even want to mention God's name.
Right.
Right? I mean,
exactly.
They don't write the whole thing out.
They use certain letters.
They use certain letters, and then you know that that means God, but they don't even write it out. They don't even mention it. And you're telling me that you're claiming that God passes gas? And you put that on the film? And when I first heard it...
Going too far.
When I first heard it, I said, no, I'm not even going to bring that up. I didn't hear right. And then you told me. Did you hear that, brother? I said, oh, I thought I was the only, I thought I misheard or something. But
no, you weren't imagining things.
Right. No, this is an attack against our Lord and Savior. And
yeah.
Peter says, In his second epistle, the second chapter, the first verse, he says, they even deny the Lord who bought them, talking about false teachers. They even deny. To deny is to distort him, is to omit certain of his attributes and his character. So what they've done is they've come up with a different Jesus, and we know that Jesus shed his blood to redeem all of mankind, right? So God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe. So Jesus' blood could have bought the redemption of every sinner. The problem is every sinner doesn't want the blood of Jesus applied to them. But,
right.
You know, even denying the Lord that bought them. Yeah. They, you know, so this is Dallas Jenkins. And don't touch his masterpiece, The Chosen. Don't touch it.
That's
because
right.
then he's going to have a problem with you.
He sure will.
Yeah. Absolutely. And he said,
he's even showed up in the comment section on when people write like blogs on the internet. Dallas has even showed up in some of their comment sections. So
really?
I think he monitors the internet. Yes, he monitors,
wow.
Or maybe earlier on, he may not have time now, but he was keeping track of what people are saying about this.
Wow. And, you know, doesn't Dallas believe in free speech? We are in America.
I guess not when it comes to his work.
Yeah. I mean, it's called debate. We can debate. We can talk. We can have a conversation.
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't have to be that thin-skinned, right? I mean, you don't have to be, it's not the end of the world if somebody doesn't like your, what you do. It's,
right.
You're for some people like what you do and other people won't. Don't be thin-skinned. That's all. Don't, everyone in the world isn't going to love you. Think about a guy who runs for president and, he wins 51% of the vote knowing that the 49% of the country hates his guts. He's still president. He's still going to function. It's not like he's going to say, woe is me because I didn't get 100% of the vote. That's not a realistic world when, it's like in high school. A couple of girls liked me and the majority didn't. That's the way it is. And I was lucky to land one, right? Lucky to
That's
land
right.
one. That's just life.
Well, I think now he has a more dismissive attitude about it where, anybody that doesn't like this beautiful work can just kick rocks. Now, we can acknowledge that it's entertaining, but as far as a accurate representation of the Lord, it falls way flat, and it's blasphemous, and it's basically a different Jesus, and we're going to continue to look at it and analyze it, but it's just not a good depiction of our Lord, and in fact, it's embarrassing and denigrating to him.
Absolutely, and it's embarrassing and denigrating to Matthew, who looks like a sissy.
Right.
I mean, Matthew looks like a complete sissy. Matthew would be the kind of kid in my classroom that would get smacked around 24/7 and his lunch money taken every day. This is embarrassing. Embarrassing.
So we've kind of moved into episode 4 in the first season last week. It's called The Rock on Which It Is Built, which hints that it's mostly about Peter, but they've woven a few different things with Matthew following Peter because Quintus, the Roman leader there, seems to think Peter may have double-crossed him on the deal, so he wants Matthew to watch him. And then where we left off at was the 56th minute mark where we were getting into the Pharisees having a discussion, because I guess John the Baptist has come on the scene now and they're hearing about him. So that's what they were starting to discuss when we left off last week. So
okay.
In part four, so whenever you're ready.
All right. Now I'm going to play a little bit and see if the audio is right, and you let me know.
Okay.
Matthew, you are a priceless treasure. Of course you have a dog.
How does that sound?
That sounds good.
Okay.
I saw it with my own eyes. The line stretched from the edge of the Jordan into the acacia groves as far as the eye could see. All of them awaiting an immersion in the river by a loud man in camel skin.
And not for purification.
He called it a baptism of repentance, a forgiveness of sin.
What exactly did he say? Have you seen him before?
I have not. That is what he said. Rabbi, is there precedent for this?
What of his speech?
And the rabbi that they're talking to or asking the question to is Nicodemus. That's the rabbi.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Rabbi?
His words, the message. Did he advocate rabbinic law? Did he call for revolution, violence?
Not the violence. But I haven't told you the worst part. One of our own approached him, and he called all of us snakes.
Us?
Yes, religious leaders.
Snakes?
He ranted like a madman about how worthless we were.
What else?
What else? What could be worse than that?
It depends on who he is.
He told tax collectors and soldiers not to extort money or collect more than they're authorized to.
They were present as he said this?
Yes. And he told the commoners to share food and clothing with those who have none.
Preaching a populist message.
In Jerusalem, I heard talk of a wild man who entered the king's court with a list of evils done by Herod Antipas and his family.
What should be done, Rabbi? Can we bring him in for questioning by the Sanhedrin?
If it is the same person, he does not answer to Sanhedrin. And we're not his only targets, anyway. He seems to relish rejecting anything with tradition or anyone with influence. Do they say he performs miracles?
I don't know.
This meeting's adjourned.
Now, I'm assuming he's asking if this John the Baptist does miracles, because he's trying to see if he's the one who healed Mary Magdalene, whom he tried to cast out the devil. Is that correct?
I think so. Because Mary, at the time they talked, didn't know who Jesus was.
Right.
So that could be it. He's trying to
figure out
if he's the guy.
Right, correct. Okay.
Turns.
What's this?
There he is.
Josephat, Avram.
Simon. What happened to your ear?
There's a cut on it. What's going on?
Simon, we are brothers here.
Yes, if you ever find yourself in need of anything.
So,
if this is about what's going on at the docks, I don't know what you've heard. It's just a misunderstanding, all right? It's business.
What's wrong at the docks?
I lost the lure. What's up?
Ima is sick.
Ima? What happened?
She's coughing in fits. She has no strength to do anything. And yet she does not sleep. She's spitting up blood.
I don't understand. We just saw her last...
Month. Simon, it's been a month since you visited Ima.
You know how it's been, work and... I know. I haven't been a good... Wait, why are they here? No. Look, I love your Ima like she was my own.
She loves you.
But we can't
take... Abraham and his family are all in my home
already. This is really bad timing.
When is a good time to fall ill, Simon?
Guys, the answer is no.
You knew it. You always told me.
What kind of man are you?
You always told me. You have no honor, son of Jonah.
You don't know nothing. Stop your punching me. Yeah, where's the honor in that, huh?
Wow. This reminds me of Jackie Gleason in The Honeymooners when Alice told him that his mother was coming over for a visit, and he said, no way. This would not be part of a the Jewish family. This wouldn't
right.
even be a question. You, Mom, you move in.
Right, And of course, the Bible doesn't mention any of this taking place or the circumstances that Peter's mother-in-law was living with that we know she was because Jesus healed her of a fever. But, you know, more than likely, obviously, she was probably widowed and maybe she didn't have any sons living near her. Maybe they were all far away or dead or maybe Peter's wife was the only child like we talked about before. So, of course, the only place you can go is with your daughter and her husband. But like you say, because of the custom, it wouldn't have even been a discussion. Of course, Ema is moving in.
Right.
Sick or not.
Right. And see, here's the thing. I'll give you an example of my mother-in-law. When my mother-in-law started to lose her memory, it started out slowly. And then we were noticing
right.
that she was burning, you know, she would start cooking, put something on the stove, and every day it was burning, which means she was starting to get forgetful. So
right.
there are three surviving sisters, my wife and her two older sisters. Her two older sisters are unsaved. Well, me and my wife told the two sisters she's coming with us because that's what Christians do.
Right.
That's part of our Judeo-Christian what? Heritage. That's what we do. And it wasn't even and the two sisters who were not saved said that's the first time they ever said praise the Lord because they never say praise the Lord. But because they didn't have to take their mama, they said, praise the Lord.
Right, right.
You see? That's what the unsaved don't want responsibility. But we didn't see, we saw it as my mother-in-law blessing our children, being with our children, being with us. And my wife is the baby of the family. She was always very close with her mother. My mother-in-law, you know, was a God-fearing woman, and so they got along perfectly, where the other two sisters, you know, Mom was a nuisance. And so it was a no-brainer.
Right.
So can you imagine in a Jewish family where this cultural tie is even stronger?
Right. It was just a given that you took care of your elders and the widows or whatever. And if she had no sons, especially, and thinking about that, I don't know how old this boy was, but remember the boy that Jesus raised when he opened the interrupted the funeral procession and raised the boy because it was the mother's only son. And then there
right.
would be nobody else to take care of her if he died. So Jesus
right.
healed her or him.
Sure.
So if there was somebody, there had to be somebody to help the widowed person lady out or the mother-in-law. If it was the son-in-law and the daughter, fine. But I'm just surprised that these two brothers, but I guess they're saying they already got a lot of family living with them anyway, so they can't take on more.
Right. See, the other two brothers have wives and children. Peter's alone,
right,
with, from what I've seen so far.
With it,
right. He's alone with his wife. So mama
right,
won't be a problem.
Right. But, yeah, this conversation wouldn't have even happened, especially not in with first-century Jewish cultures. It's plus it's laid out in the law how they are supposed to handle these kinds of things, right?
Absolutely. Listen, Peter's a snitch. He's a thug.
A Sabbath breaker.
He's he's a evil son-in-law. No.
Right.
Again.
Or maybe they're just trying to say he's like this because he's got stress of what, you know, the tax debt and how they gonna lose everything. So the last thing he needs is mother-in-law living with him. Or maybe that's why they're having him react like this.
Well, either way, I just find it hard to believe that a man of Jewish upbringing, Jewish faith, would say to his mother-in-law, "No way." Paul says this to the membership of the church of Ephesus, and he writes to Timothy and says, listen, let every family take care of their own family members. For he who doesn't take care of his family members is worse than an infidel. Think about what Paul is saying, right? I mean, this is Judeo-Christian doctrine. If you cannot take care of the members of your own house, see, this is why when people come to me and say, okay, do I tithe or do I buy my mama groceries? Listen, that's a no-brainer. That's a slam dunk. Right, because the Bible says that if you don't take care of mama, you are worse than an infidel. You're worse than an unbeliever.
Yeah, but a pimp preacher tell them to keep tithing. In fact,
right,
we heard an audio a while back where T.D. Jakes said that.
Which is mind-boggling.
It's been a while since we heard it, but yeah, he said that.
Yeah. So, again, you see, he's putting this in a 21st century American context.
Right.
You know, this is not Bible. It's just not.
No.
It's just, you know, listen, when I was growing up.
If he's a snitch and a Sabbath breaker, I guess it's no wonder that he would reject his mother-in-law, and then to think that she's in the other room over there listening to this.
Right. Listening to, no, I don't want to hear. No, get her out. Oh, how you doing, mama? Can you feel better? Can you make me some cream of turkey soup? Yes, I'm going to put some arsenic in it is what I'm going to do. No. Listen, this is just pathetic. Pathetic.
Joseph, Ibrahim, if Simon says it's a bad time, he has good reason it's a bad time.
Thank you, Eden.
A bad time for you, not for me.
Honey.
No. If I can't be there for my own Ima when she's sick, what am I? I'm nothing. I'm not a daughter.
You'll
I'm not
always
a sister.
Be.
Nothing.
Avram, Jeho, please, go be with your Ima or go outside and need some privacy.
Eden,
I'm not talking to your sister. I'm talking to my wife in my own home. And if you're not out of this room in 3 seconds, I will beat you both with my bare hands. I can't do this anymore. Please, please listen to me. I haven't been honest with you. There's no woman. It's not gambling. Look, a few days ago, I looked you in the eyes and I told you, I've got this. I lied.
What do you mean?
I've been fishing on Shabbat because I've had no choice. Andrew has texted. I've got texted. We haven't been able to keep up. I did some things I'm not proud of to fix it, and now it's gone bad. We're in trouble.
We? What do you mean?
I'm in trouble. But we, because I need a miracle, or I can be in big trouble.
I'm not a child. Stop speaking in riddles. Tell me what's happening.
I could go to prison. We could lose the house.
What?
The cut in my ear. It's from a Roman.
Simon!
If I don't catch a ton of fish or get some help somehow, they'll arrest me.
Or kill you. They are Romans.
Yeah, so I need to go.
Go where?
To fish. I gotta spend the rest of the week doing nothing but catch every fish I can and hope I can fix this somehow. So that's why we can't take your Ima. It's just not possible.
No, she has nothing to do with this. I will not let you punish her for your sins.
Eden, you can't
leave us alone. Can't tell me what I can or can't do. You have had your eyes closed around here, and God is with me, even if you aren't.
Oh, sorry.
Where is your faith?
What?
You heard me.
And faith isn't going to get me more fish.
I'm not talking about tonight. I am talking about long before tonight. You've been different. Before it was gambling, and now it's working, and trying to do everything yourself. The popular Simon, fixing everything and charming everyone all by yourself. And fishing on holy days without even thinking about it, with no respect for our God.
What about Pikuch Nefesh? We can break a commandment to save a life. Our lives are at stake here.
I don't know that, because you have not pursued the Lord lately. Not like the man that I married. That is why you are stuck and you feel desperate and now you're off to try to fix it yourself again. So go. I don't want you here tonight anyway.
This is a Jewish version of Tyler Perry's The Have and the Have Nots.
That's what this is.
This none of this happened. If we could only make people understand that none of this happened, however entertaining this episode may be.
Right.
However, because people can identify with these arguments, right? They, I'm having friction with my in-laws. My brother-in-laws are getting on my nerve, and they want to push, the mother-in-law on me, and, here's my wife, and we're having these arguments. You know, all of that is, we can all relate to that in some way, form, or fashion.
Yes.
But none of this happened to Peter. None of this.
Right.
This is a complete fabrication.
It's made up, but Dallas is intentionally doing this because has stated that they want to know the backstory of how these guys even came to Christ or why they would drop everything to follow him. So this is all the build up to how the more down in the gutter you are, the more spectacular the conversion, I guess. But not everyone has a spectacular conversion story. But the point is, that's how, remember when he said Jesus doesn't make a good protagonist because he has no character arc? Well, this is what he was talking about. And he figured it would be easier to make one up with the other characters.
Right. See, and that was the whole problem with the Left Behind series. One of my former students gifted me the Left Behind series on tape, right? On cassette tape. And and so while I was traveling, while I was on the road, guess what I was popping into the car? The Left Behind series. And it was very very entertaining. But I could tell you that none of it, including the eschatology, was based on the Bible. Because I don't believe that the church is going to be raptured out of, you know, before the tribulation comes. So the whole premise, you know, that the church has been raptured, only a few people get to stay behind, and those people look for a way to fight Antichrist, to stop him from achieving his plans, all of that was just the creation. The names of the name of the Antichrist, which I don't even remember what it was, and all of the, you know, all of the protagonists in the, you know, in the show, and the main, none of that, none of those people ever existed or will exist. And that whole
right.
that whole scenario will not be played out. But look how many copies the Left Behind series sold.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
right.
you know, this is what they do. This is what they do.
So I guess Dallas has got his storytelling chops honest from his dad.
Right. But see the here's the thing. His dad and Tim LaHaye did not misrepresent Christ.
Right.
They didn't misrepresent Christ. That's one. Number two, Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins are firm believers in the pre-tribulation eschatology. They're advocates of that. That's what they believe, that this is the way things will
right.
be played out. So I just happen to believe different. But that's their theological conviction. So, you know, on
right.
the one hand, you know, I can see where, you know, he's creating stuff like they did, but you got to be careful who you're creating stuff on.
Exactly.
You're right?
And the stories of the apostles are interwoven to some degree with Jesus. Because these are the guys that wrote to tell us what he did and who he is. So you even have to be careful with their stories because it throws you off when you just make stuff up, even with the apostles and the other characters that Dallas is using here.
Hey, look, here's the thing. Why didn't Matthew write about himself? Why didn't I mean
he wasn't the important one to write about?
Right. Listen, Dallas Jenkins has revealed more about Matthew and who Matthew is than Matthew did. That's a red flag right there.
He barely talked about himself other than just,
right.
you know, when he named the apostles, all of them, not just
right.
himself.
Right, and then you know,
maybe a couple of other things.
Right, and when he named himself, he didn't put himself on the top of the list in Matthew 10.
Right.
He's in the middle of the list, right? Think about it. John the disciple. John doesn't write about himself. In a few, he says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's one thing he says about himself, right? And so
right.
he writes very little. In fact, John the disciple writes more and reveals more about John the Baptist than he does of himself. That should tell us something. Right? It's just amazing. It's just amazing how two of the four evangelists who were disciples wrote very little. So here's this Dallas Jenkins. He does the opposite. Okay, let's eliminate Jesus and let's write about these two guys.
Right.
Let's harp
well,
on
even
them.
The other two gospel writers, they didn't do what Dallas is doing, where they're saying this is my vision and my interpretation of who Jesus was and who the apostles were. No, they didn't do that either, Luke and Mark, right?
Right. And this is why the Bible says all scripture is inspired of God and is profitable. The Chosen was inspired by Dallas Jenkins. And
right.
his motivation is fame. He, you know, when
right.
remember when we played the first interview where he said he bombed out the first time? He even had some
yes.
promises lined up for, you know, for some other projects. And then once his movie bombed, then those projects dried up. Those opportunities
right,
dried
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you see, he is trying of his own strength, but with the help of Satan, of course, because he's not going to tell you it's Satan who's helping him. Satan has given this guy a platform. I am convinced Satan has given him a platform. And what network is it? The Mormon network or the Mormon, you know,
Streaming service. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So that says it all.
And they're using it, and now, well, season two was filmed at sets in Utah, Mormon property.
Wow. Wow. Amazing.
Amazing.
It's just amazing. All right, here's more.
I'm glad you're at least honest with me. But no more talking. Maybe God can get your attention now.
Did you see?
The Lamb of God. He who takes away the sin of the world. Simon, we're standing by the Jordan, and John the Baptizer pointed at a man who's walking. Simon, are you listening?
Yeah, you're just not saying anything.
I saw the Messiah today. The men, all of us, including you, have been praying for our whole life. Don't you even care?
Was he a big man?
Big? No.
Rich?
No.
You didn't see him? He could bear us out of this debt to Rome?
Maybe.
Maybe he was a doctor. Oh. So he can't help with Eden Zima, who's now living with us, Andrew.
That's it.
So pardon me if I'm not exactly jumping out of my sandals because Creepy John pointed at someone.
You're scared.
Lost everything. Burnt every bridge.
It doesn't matter. The Romans don't matter if the Messiah has arrived. Anything is possible now. Don't you see?
That'd be nice.
Where are you going?
Go ahead, Peter. The brothers are trying to cook. I can smell it.
So when you have the account in John 1 where Andrew tells Peter that he found Messiah, what does Peter do? He runs to see him.
Yes.
According to the Gospel of Jenkins, Peter mocks his brother.
John the Baptist.
Right.
Calling him Creepy John.
Yeah, Creepy John. Now, when he said Creepy John, I thought he was talking about Paula White's husband, the guy from Journey. I thought that's who he was referring to when he said Creepy John.
Jonathan
Cain, right. That's who I thought
yeah,
he was talking
he is
about.
Creepy.
Yeah. But, wow. Yeah, you see, this goes against the gospel narrative.
Right.
See, in other words, I would have to say that John lied. His account is false, and Jenkins is right. And it's not.
Exactly.
It's not.
And people, the fans of this show are eating this up and even thinking of the plausibility, because that's what Dallas is hanging his hat on. Even though the Bible is silent about all these precipitating events in people's lives, mm-hmm. Dallas's argument that it's plausible that some of this could have happened with them, and that's why he thinks it's okay to tell the story this way, because I guess the way the Bible tells it is just boring.
Right.
That doesn't grab his attention. Therefore, he doesn't think it'll grab the audience's attention. But the audiences that he's targeting, I guess, don't see a problem with this.
All right, let's see what else he's got to say. Let's see what else he will twist in the Bible.
Of accountability. And you're here to make sure Quintus knows where to go when it's time to hurt me. You settle your debt. I keep track of things. I do it well. Quintus knows I do it well. You're a little off, aren't you? You should turn yourself in. We can accompany you.
Nah, they're pursuing every option.
There are none. You must provide information implicating the guilty fishermen or balance the books. Somehow.
Andrew says anything's possible.
Not mathematically.
Yeah, but what if, you know?
He'll only be subjecting your family and friends to needless anguish by prolonging the inevitable.
These are other big words.
But no one listens to me. Not like they do you. You have a singular talent.
Something at least.
And I assume you are not headed to the authorities.
Going fishing.
Variables. People are always adding variables. Does it change anything to know you only have until sun up?
Sun up? But Shabbat's not for 3 days.
Quintus is convinced you double-crossed him. He's coming.
I'm still going fishing.
Turn yourself in. You have no feasible plan.
I told you my plan. If I'm going down, it will be doing what God bid me to do. Tell your boss he can come get me off the water.
We should be counting our blessings.
Nadonai is great indeed.
Now, this trip could not have gone any better if we had planned every moment.
My eyes are always open and new in this land.
Not to mention the new opportunities our successes here will no doubt unlock.
We will stay another fortnight, or until all of my research is concluded.
But, Nico, surely you can conclude your research in Jerusalem, and the archives are there.
The matter is decided.
Well, I'm expecting no one.
Before we get into this between Nicodemus and his wife, you want to make any comments on Peter and Matthew?
Well, as always, it didn't happen. There's no evidence in the Bible that they'd even know each other before they met. But they became disciples of Christ. That's the biggest thing.
Right.
You know, and all this build up to the fishing, as I said, they're making it seem like this them fishing all night, which they're leading up to the great catch of fish miracle that Jesus did. They're making it seem like Simon was out there trying to figure this out for himself, and then Jesus came along and did him this miracle, is what they're building up to with this whole scene. But I was going back to what you said about how Andrew coming to Peter and Peter's response. I did turn to John, and if I could read a couple of those verses that explain what you just said. And it's after, it says, the two disciples who heard him speak, which is John the Baptist, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, translated teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it's about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. And that's John's depiction of Andrew first introducing Simon to Jesus.
Which completely contradicts this episode scene. Completely
yes.
Contradicts it. See? So
yes.
The man can't be trusted. You know,
right.
Think about this. Think about if William Shakespeare was alive today and he went to Broadway and Dallas Jenkins was producing Romeo and Juliet, and William Shakespeare saw what Dallas Jenkins had done to his novel by taking liberties. What do you think? How do you think William Shakespeare would be reacting in the audience as he's watching the destruction of Romeo and Juliet? How do you think he would be reacting?
He would be outraged, most likely.
Right. And this is how God feels. And this is how we feel when we look at this rubbish. This is complete rubbish.
Yeah.
That's what this is. This is just garbage. Because, again, we have accurate accounts. And this guy is distorting those accounts. To do what?
He's turning it into a comic book.
Right. That's what he's doing. A lot of people, as a kid, you know, I grew up in the 60s, right? In 19, you know, I was an adolescent in the 1960s. So I read all kinds of comic books. My favorite, of course, were the Marvel comics. Those were my favorite. And today they're producing Marvel movies and, you know, and I am, you know, when I hear what they do with these movies, I say, but that's not Marvel canon. That's not
right.
The way it happened in the comic book. It's just like this week. I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if you, but Robin, you know, Batman's sidekick, the Boy Wonder, as he's called. You know, Robin is called the Boy Wonder. DC Comics,
right? Yes.
This week, I found out after all these years, after reading all the Batman comics that I read, the Boy Wonder is bisexual. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did hear about that. Yeah, I did.
Right? So now what has happened? They have messed with DC comic canon.
Yes.
That's what they've done. And mind you, DC Comic and Marvel is never going to be on the level of the Bible. It's just a comic book. It's fantasy.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
But can you imagine tampering with the Word of God? Rewriting the Word of God? And you don't, listen, you don't need to make Peter more sinful. Listen, all have sinned. We don't need to know everybody's sin. All we need to know that the Bible says all have sinned. When people get up to, when I remember when I was pastoring and I say, okay, tonight's testimony night. Now, if you're going to testify about your conversion, remember, saints, do not put out all your dirty laundry. But that I was telling people, listen, don't give the audience the salacious tidbits of your past life. We don't want to hear that. Just say the things that would glorify God. And that's, you see, he's trying to show us how bad Peter was, how bad Andrew was. Listen, it makes no difference. All have sinned. With that statement alone, lets us know we all need Jesus. That's all.
That's right. There is none righteous, no, not one. Even the ones who were following the law to the letter, and they were doing it in their own strength.
Correct.
You know, it didn't matter.
Didn't matter. So Nicodemus, you know, he's confused. What do you mean I have to be born again? How do I go back into my mother's womb? I'm an old man.
Mm-hmm.
See, again, the principal thing in the lesson is Jesus. Jesus is, he says, we know that you are a teacher sent from God. Because no one can do the things that you do unless God sent him. Does Dallas Jenkins focus on that? No. He's focusing on Nicodemus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's it. No. This is complete rubbish. All right, let's see what goes on here between Nicodemus and his wife. And Nicodemus's wife reminds me a little bit of Victoria Osteen, you know, the pushy wife. The,
you keep saying that, yes.
Right. Okay. Here's more.
It's important. I need to see him. I'm sorry to interrupt at this hour, Rabbi. I bring news regarding the heretic called John.
The baptizer?
Romans have taken him into custody.
How did you hear of this?
Shmuel, Rabbi. I believe he may have given the Romans his location.
We do not likely turn Jews over to the Romans. Did the Sanhedrin order this?
No, teacher.
I want to question the baptizer myself. I'll make inquiries. Thank you, Yosef.
Yes, Rabbi.
And I will discuss this with Shmuel myself.
Thank you.
bark sometimes too.
The only thing Peter's missing that Peter needs in his life, he needs to play Mega Millions. Maybe if he played Mega Millions, I was saying, any minute now, Mr. Jenkins is going to introduce Peter's version of Mega Millions, and I think it's going to be Jesus. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I think so. He hit the jackpot.
That's it. That's it.
But the way the Bible tells this story of Peter, of them fishing all night, I assume from the way it is told that John and James and Zebedee and all the other guys were out there with them.
Right. You're correct. Peter was not out there by himself. They were all toiling. The text says we toiled all
mm-hmm.
night and have caught nothing.
Right.
That's what it says.
And then the thing with Nicodemus and John the Baptist being locked up, the Yusuf, the man that was talking to Nicodemus, was saying that he thinks Shmuel, this guy's becoming a rival of Nicodemus's, I suppose, may have turned John over to the Romans, but we know that was all on Herod Antipas, right? And John was pretty open about his ministry. He was out in the open baptizing and preaching, so I don't think Herod would have needed any of the Jews to turn him over. You know, you can see where he's at.
Not only that, as you well know, John the Baptist did everything in the open.
Yeah,
right?
It was out in the open.
He wasn't running
Herod
some
didn't
underground
need a tip.
Ministry. Right. No, you don't need someone to tell you where he's at. You know where he's at. He's by the Jordan baptizing. That's where he was. Again, a complete fabrication. Complete nonsense. Okay, here's a little bit more because I want to see if Jesus becomes Peter's Mega Million.
Cast after cast. Now we make your descendants as many as the stars in the heavens. And then what? Huh? Make the chosen as many as the stars. Only to let Egypt enslave us for generations.
After Peter's sin blasphemy. Right?
Yeah, yes, that's another one to put on the list.
Right, that's another one we can add there. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Bring us out of Egypt. Part the Red Sea, only to let us wander in the desert for 40 years. Give us the land, only to let us be exiled in Babylon. Bring us back, only to be crushed by Rome. This is the God I've served so faithfully my entire life. You're the God I'm supposed to thank. You know, if I didn't know any better, I'd say you enjoy yanking us around like goats and can't decide whether we're chosen or not. Which one is it? Ah!
Simon!
Andrew?
Who are you talking to?
Apparently no one.
You shouldn't joke like that, my friend.
Yeah, your friends might think you've lost faith. James and John, I presume. And who brought the old man?
I heard you need a real fisherman.
How'd you know I was here?
Eden may be angry, but she's not too proud to ask for help.
Ah, so you told her the whole story, huh? Yeesh. How'd she take it? Let's just say it's my last night as a free man and I'm fishing.
Your last night,
Quintus.
Well,
there are only so many hours in the night, huh? Let's fish.
Nothing. In the morning, maybe you could hide in the merchant caravan, escape to Egypt.
Fish the Nile.
We've got perch the size of children.
Egypt is a Roman province now.
Nah, he didn't hate Egypt.
So? She can wait for you to send money.
I'm hoping if I let Quintus and his boys take out their frustrations on me, he'll eventually allow me visitors. Sit down.
So, about the news I was to tell you about. I was working with John McCullough that time.
Andrew.
What's he on about?
And he pointed at him.
No more.
And he said, behold, the Lamb.
Andrew.
I said...
another word from you about this lamb of yours. We don't need a lamb. We need fish.
John was right. You have a chance to sneak into a merchant caravan and get away.
I won't leave the land of our father. And they'll find me, I'm sure. Maybe the baptizer could make me a disguise out of an old camel's hide.
That's full up.
Far no winning numbers.
Right. But yeah, I guess the other guys did join up later. But the way they were depicting it at first, it seemed like Peter was out there by himself. But the thing with Peter's prayer, I wanted to mention real quick, or his rant or whatever, that more like a rant than a prayer.
Right.
He talked about, you know, how God on one hand delivered them or whatever, and then had them wander 40 years and all these things he was going over. But wasn't all of that because of their sin and because of how they turned away from him and apostatized and worshiped Baal and did all these other things? All the time during their... They were incomplete in conquering the land, and it was just over and over they would turn against God. Wasn't it was the people's sin and not God just messing with them, as his prayer implies?
Right. Each and every generation, right? First comes the Assyrians. They take them captive. Then after the Assyrians, mm-hmm. the Medo-Persians, the Babylonians. Then the Babylonians come the Medo-Persians. From the Medo-Persians come the Greeks, and from the Greeks the Romans. So all of that is due to what? National sin. Don't blame God. God told you in Deuteronomy that if you followed him, you would stay in the land. If you didn't follow him, you would go captive. That's in the book, right? I mean, it's like today. If I go and do stupid things, I can't come back here and sit in my chair and say, well, you know, God, you made these promises in the Word. Yeah, but I didn't keep my part of the covenant.
Right?
If I go and give my mortgage money to Benny Hinn, and I do that for three or four months in a row, I can't blame God. You know, you told me to sow seeds into good ground. First of all, you can't even find that in the Bible. Number two, if I let Benny Hinn con me, if I lose my house, you know, I can't sit here and blame God for it. Got to blame myself.
Right.
That's who I got to blame. So, like you said, it's a sinful murmuring rant, and he needed to get things in perspective. He's in that jam because he went from one scheme to another, and none of them turned out.
That's right.
He lucked out with none of them. You know, he went to the horse track and picked the wrong horse, lost that money. Then he went to the dog races and picked the wrong dog, and he lost there. So, you know, had you gone to prayer, had you gone to work, it would have been a different story. So, all right, here's more. We got a few more minutes.
Come on. Sometimes the sea bests all of us. Not your night. All right. Time to be done. Right with you.
Make sure he's in the safe. You hear me, Andrew?
Hey! Those aren't soldiers.
I might still have time to see Eden.
Don't clean our nest. Stick around to make sure you can leave.
For this, Andrew.
It's him. Simon, it's the man. John said he's here. I know.
May I ask a favor? I'm teaching these people, and apparently they're having trouble hearing me. If I could stand on your boat, that would be helpful.
They're having trouble hearing you, huh?
Yes, yes. Of course. Please, stand on my boat. Thank you.
I need to go. I'm sorry. No time for this today.
Stay a few moments longer.
I have something for you.
For me? I'm in a hurry?
Yes, I know. Just allow me a few moments. Please.
Huh?
because I have trusted you. This man is the Messiah.
It's good to see you again, Andrew.
Yes.
I'm Jesus. Thanks for this.
Simon.
In my last moments with you, I want to share another story. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Well, let's thank our friends for this strong vote, huh?
Thank you.
Trust me, my yelling voice is not easy on the ears. Because I'm on this boat, my final parable should be about fishing, yes? Simon, please send me that net. When this net is thrown into the sea, what happens, Simon?
Well,
I mean most of the time.
It gathers.
A little louder.
It gathers fish.
Yes. This net gathers fish. All kinds of fish, yes?
Yes.
All kinds of fish. And the kingdom of heaven... it's like what happens next. After the net is full, Simon and the others draw it to the shore, sit down, and sort out the fish. The good fish go into the barrels, and the bad fish thrown away. So it will be at the end of the age. Angels will come and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into a fiery furnace. Do you understand? Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven, like you all are now, is like the master of a house who brings forth his treasures, both new and old. You are to do the same with this knowledge. These parables I tell make sense to some, not to others. Be patient. That is all for today. I have some business to attend to with my new friend. That down for a catch. A little farther out.
I don't have a quarrel with you, teacher. We've been doing this all night. Nothing. All right. That's your word.
I love you.
My brother and the baptizer, you are the Lamb of God, yes?
I am.
Depart from me. I am a sinful man. You don't know who I am and the things I've done.
Don't be afraid, Simon.
I'm sorry. We've waited for you for so long, we believe. But my faith, I'm sorry.
Lift up your head, fisherman.
What do you want from me? Anything you ask, I will do.
Follow me.
So I tried to run it as long as I could before the time was up, share with the saints what just happened there and your comments.
It was the miraculous catch of fish. They launched out, and then they began to catch the fish that nearly broke the nets and sunk all the boats. And then Peter finally runs up and kneels before Jesus, which that part they did get right, although he didn't say everything you just heard this Simon say. But so that's the scene that we just watched here. And I guess they did go to the fish market and buy a few more fish than they did in the Joel Osteen thing, because they had about two fish in that one, wouldn't you say, brother?
Right. Yep.
So that was the scene we just listened to there.
Mm-hmm. So Jesus becomes Peter's mega million ticket.
The lottery ticket. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's basically, this is the prosperity. This is a subtle hint to the prosperity gospel, mm-hmm. because the way it's tied into this story, see, the way it's tied
right.
into the gospel, it proves to Peter and to the rest that Jesus is indeed who he claims he is, God incarnate. That's mm-hmm. the way it plays out in the Gospels. It's a proof, it's an evident that he's God incarnate.
Right.
But here in this episode, he is not necessarily God incarnate, but he's also the lottery man. You
right.
see?
That Jesus will come and just fix all your problems and mess ups and bring you
right.
prosperity.
Right.
Because the prosperity
right.
pimps do use this passage to teach that.
Correct. And no doubt, you know, God, you know, when you read on the life of Isaac in Matthew 26, when God, in the year of the famine, God told him to stay in the land and sow there, and God did uh-huh. give Isaac a bumper crop, but that was under the direct instruction of God.
Right.
In this particular case, the way it's tied into the story, the way, you know, even Matthew, who is there, doing his accounting and wanting to see if Peter's going to come back with any way to pay his debt, now this catch mm-hmm. of fish cancels out all his taxes and Andrew's taxes and spares his life
right.
and blah, 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 you know. So, again, mm-hmm. this is like winning the lottery ticket. And that's not what Jesus is. That's not what he is.
No,
sorry.
Indeed.
That's not what he is. So the way he ties it in, he ties it in, you know, in a very sneaky way. And think about it. Think about the message that you're sending to people. You could do all of these crazy different things, but, hey, you can expect God to show up and prevent you from going to jail. Or even
from having
the loan shark, right? The loan shark break your knees. Very, very, very poor portrayal. And again, he did this on purpose, and you know it does a disservice to Peter and to the gospel narratives. And
Just horrible.
And, of course, people are going to fall in love with this story because, look, Jesus came to save the day. Jesus is our knight in shining armor. Jesus is this.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is that. And gullible
right.
people will fall for it because they miss the central message. The central message
is Jesus, God incarnate.
That's it. Just
because
like when
it wasn't even practical from a fisherman's point of view to even fish at that time of day.
Right. Absolutely. So the timing was off. Who goes to fish? Who goes to fish right
at
offshore?
High noon.
There's nothing offshore. You got to go deep.
Right.
You know whenever I've gone fishing on Long Island. And they take those charter boats. You got to go. They take you way out there where you're throwing up. You're on the waves are high, and you're throwing up, and the whole thing, you're seasick, and, you know.
Right.
And that's what they – you can't fish off the shore. What are you going to fish off the shore? Nothing. This is not some stream or lake. You know, this is saltwater fishing. Who's ever gone to the beach and have fish at their feet? No one. So we're out of time. Great show as always. The more I watch this, the madder I get. Because again,
I'm so sorry, bro.
No. We have to do this because how can we say that the show is garbage unless we went through it piece by piece?
Right.
We have to do this. Mm-hmm. We must of necessity do this or else it's unfair to Dallas Jenkins for us to say it's garbage when we didn't view it all.
That's true.
That's just the way things work. All right, my sister, you have the last word.
Well, once again, thank everyone for listening. Pray for us as we pray for you and know that the Lord Jesus loves you, and so do we. Have a great rest of your day and week. Bye-bye. See you next time.